tasted so good.
Eat me!
Hey everybody, it's the Burrow Pal, the Moo Cow here, and we are back with Indie Film Cafe. I'm here with my friend...
Lenore.
Yay! Hi. How's it going? So, we are back to catching Miss Lenore back with some of our earlier films that we did on Indie Film Cafe, and this time we are going to do Ginger Dead Man. So, what did you think of Ginger Dead Man? Gary Busey plays an evil cookie.
Yeah.
Were you frightened by it?
No. not really.
No.
I mean, it's a cookie. It's a large cookie, but it's still cookie-sized.
Well, there is that. And then, of course, he is carrying the spirit, the departed spirit, of Millard Finkelmeyer, who we saw in the beginning, who shoots a couple people at a Texas eatery, and then shoots Robin Sidney's character. So I guess she survived the encounter, but she goes down. So everybody kind of, at least I thought she was dead, but I guess not. And then the cops kill him, and or actually they capture him, and he goes to the electric chair, and then they cremate the body, and apparently they send the ashes to his mother, and then the mother, as you normally would do, took his ashes and delivered them as ginger dead spices to the family, the remaining daughter of the people who own the bakery, which is really weird.
Yeah, did they plan that ahead of time? If I die in this specific way, running these specific people, you must take my ashes and disguise them as gingerbread spices?
So that I can come back as a ginger dead man? Yes. You know, I get the impression somewhere in there, the idea was that Millard Finkelmeyer's mother is some kind of a witch, but they don't really say that.
Or a serial killer.
Or a serial killer witch, or something. That there's some kind of... I mean, they keep saying, it's black magic! So there's, like, some kind of reason beyond just the fact that there's human remains in the cookie for it to come alive. And I presume it's the spell, plus, I guess, the quote-unquote lightning, or the electricity from the generator that blows. It's a very silly movie. I mean, it's just... It's fun, don't get me wrong. I like it. I mean, who doesn't want to see an evil cookie killing people? It's just silly, you know? But, so this was like your second time seeing it, right?
Uh-huh.
So, what did you think? Has it gotten any better or has it gotten worse?
Second time around, I was counting the health code violations.
Well, yeah, there is the one where Rick, who's the butcher baker... He's opening up the box of gingerbread spices, and he cuts himself, and the first thing he does is immediately bleeds right into the spices.
And they still use those spices, but also they're not wearing gloves. Then there's the second thing, one where one person gets covered in frosting and left in the freezer. And then there's all the things with the oven. They're not wearing gloves while baking or preparing anything. The one lady who loses her finger also bleeds around everywhere. The rat again. And there's another one I was forgetting, wasn't there? Oh, right. All the half-drunk bottles of alcohol left around.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying that she wouldn't want to eat too many cookies from this bakery?
Yep.
Yeah, so why does the one girl end up being covered in frosting? Is that supposed to be frightening?
I don't know. I don't know where he got the frosting. I don't know where he got the... Actually, I kind of want to see a cutscene now of the cookie... doing all that stuff with the frosting and getting a spatula and covering her.
And did he put the frosting on her clothing or did he strip her naked and put the frosting on her skin?
It looked like it was on her clothing.
Yeah, I don't get it. Some people would think that's kind of a fun, tasty way to go. I don't know. It's just, I mean, he's killed everybody else. Why did he not kill her?
Yeah.
It's just it's strangely inconsistent.
Yeah, it's a very dumb movie. So basically, it's a cookie. They never tried to deny that. It's not like the cookie is a vessel for some other poltergeist spirit. It's a cookie.
Right.
It can be eaten. It's a cookie. They could just douse it in milk and walk away.
Or they could walk away, like at any time. They could leave the building.
that. But that also brings up the question of what happens if they hadn't used those spices? Would it just be a sentient pile of ash?
Well, remember, they weren't even going to make a ginger dead cookie at first. She said they were going to make a muffin.
Yeah. Also, the dough itself is inconsistent. It goes from muffin dough to bread dough to cookie dough, and those all look very different.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I guess you got to work with the dough that you get. However, I do call shenanigans at one point because it just has the blood in there, and I guess the ashes, but before the electricity, and before it's even made, you see like a hand poking out of the out of the unformed dough inside while it's being mixed.
The weird baby hand that flips you off.
Right. It's like some kind of little baby doll's hand that's underneath the dough being pushed up. Yeah, that's a little strange yet. I mean, are you maybe the movie's telling me that the cookie dough would have formed itself? Which, that would have been interesting. But no, she's the one who makes him and dresses him up and cuts the little smile on his face and everything. And it's funny because she takes up this massive wad of dough and rolls it all out and
Makes one cookie,
right. She could have made at least 3 or 4 cookies out of all that dough. But, you know, I guess you don't want to have 4 evil cookies running amok. Having one is bad enough.
Yeah. And then at the end, that one guy comes back from the wrestling, or maybe he was on the way to it.
Oh, Butcher Baker Boy?
Yeah. And he tackles it and eats it.
That's right. Because that's what I would do, sure. That's what you would do too, right?
And then he becomes possessed. He's less threatening in a human's body than a cookie is.
It's ridiculous. But, I mean, think about it. You've come in, you see your friends are being menaced by a talking, walking cookie with a gun. Are you going to eat it?
Oh, that's another safety code violation. They lock somebody into a walk-in oven and cook him alive.
Yeah, well, I'm not exactly sure how they're going to explain all of this to the police or to the health board. But, you know, clearly they're still baking cookies towards the end. So, I guess all that ends well, or whatever the saying is.
Another thing I noticed is it seems like every character is named after food. Jimmy Dean, right.
Sara Lee. Yeah. That's the humor in the film. That and all the little cookie remarks and the Candyman and all that other kind of stuff. Yeah, the direction of the film lags a little bit, in my opinion, but it's still kind of a fun movie. I think the main issue I have is the script just has a lot of dumb dialogue and a lot of contrivances and a lot of stuff that's just silly. And, you know, they keep talking about, oh, the lights are out and the generators are there, but clearly everybody can see. There's clearly lights on. There are shadows on the ground, for God's sakes. So even though they, quote-unquote, lost electricity, really doesn't matter because they can see perfectly fine. We can see fine.
Also, the electricity's out. How is the oven still on?
Well, there's that too.
And the fridge.
Yep. Well, that oven is like on constantly all day long.
Yeah. And it's hot enough to glow orange.
The walk-in oven, I might add.
It's hot enough to glow orange. Anybody in there would be collapsing from heat stroke. Also, depending on the metal that makes up that oven, and considering that the air is also glowing... Yeah, that's a lot of electricity.
Well, I was going to ask you, being our relative or our resident science nerd, about the science behind all of this. So, how realistic is this evil cookie movie?
Pretty unrealistic. I mean, there's not much question, was there?
You think? It's a little on the cartoony side?
Yeah, but also seriously though, how did they afford that oven?
I have no idea.
I mean, like, the air in there is, like, on the edge of plasma. The air itself is glowing. Like, that's on the verge of star plasma.
And you notice the walk-in refrigerator where they keep the milk and the other stuff, it's like the exact same thing, except it's got a blue light. And the door is just reversed a little bit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they just used colored light bulbs.
Pretty much. Yeah, so, but what about some of the other science details behind all this?
There were others?
I don't know. I mean, there was the gun that just kept firing. I mean, it's supposed to be a 6-shooter, but it just never ran out of ammunition. It just kept going.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was just loaded with blanks.
Let's talk about the automobile scene.
That's true. How did they get the rolling pin to stick to anything?
Well, I mean, there are a number of conveniences there because, remember, the guy gets out of his car, leaves the car on and the door open. Nobody does that. And he goes over to the other car, and then he does what all the other characters are doing throughout this film, which is talking out loud to no one, which, again, nobody does that, except in the movies. And then, I guess the door is open for no other reason than the fact that the cookie's able to get into the car. Conveniently, he's brought along a baking pin, a rolling pin, so he can utilize it.
Yeah.
He still can't even see over the driving wheel, you know, but he manages to get into the car and run the guy over, and... It was funny, I was saying, don't you feel bad that the cookie's driving before you are?
Yeah, I can't drive yet.
It's okay. But I don't think you're going to be running anybody into the wall, hopefully not.
I guess that depends on how good my teacher is.
Ah. Hey, well, this is also assuming you're not coming back as an evil cookie.
That's true. I will never be an evil cookie running people over.
Nice. So, what about the characters? What did you think of the various characters? Let's start off with the main character that Robin Sidney plays. What'd you think of her?
The dialogue was dumb, but she was fairly well-rounded.
Sure. She's a sweetie pie. And, you know, you kind of feel bad for her because her father and brother were murdered in front of you. You figure that's got to be a serious set of strikes against you in life. And her mother is a alcoholic, clearly.
Yeah.
And she's forced to have to carry on the family business pretty much by herself with the help of her friends. And now she has a new business moving in next door that wants to buy her out. And I guess there's some kind of rival, in-state rival.
Yeah.
And the guy keeps talking about buying them out for $50,000, which doesn't sound that bad of a deal, actually. And she's full of self-doubt, and she keeps wondering if she's going to throw in the towel. But she doesn't, because she's got her friends to perk her back up when she needs to. But
yeah.
And at the end, I guess she kind of sort of becomes heroic, because she stops being afraid of the cookie. Which, I mean, honestly, nobody should be afraid of the cookie. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
What about Miss Pretty Face?
A good description of her is your stereotypical bleach blonde dumb person.
Right. Although... For the dumb person, she's the only one who makes sense and says, we should be getting out of here.
That's true. Maybe the better description is just that she's really spoiled.
Yeah,
really spoiled.
Spoiled and mean.
Yeah.
She's definitely the mean girl of the group.
She's the one that decided that her dad trying to buy the bakery was too good for them.
Right.
Too good for the people who own the bakery, so she decided instead to get them closed down by hiding a rat in there.
A rat which changes its color several times, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, but
so she's just a kind of terrible person all around.
But, you know, she ends up getting what she deserves, I suppose. Although, once again, it's like, you know, she gets killed by the knife booby trap in the doorway. And then the guy's like, he's booby trapped all the doors. We can't get out. And I'm like, well, clearly that doorway is now no longer booby trapped. You could just leave now.
Although, I would. She was improving throughout the course of the movie. She was willingly helping out. She was standing guard. She was getting better. And then she dies.
Right. Well, that's what happens. I guess you got to pay for your past. So that's the end of Miss Pretty Face. But what about Amos, the Hot Topic punk with the gun?
I seriously thought that he was Lorna's brother.
That's weird.
I know. But I really thought they were brother and sister.
Eek. That brings up a whole other weird subtext that I didn't really think about. Yeah, I guess they have that sort of very high school-y kind of relationship where they're just using each other to make each other look better.
Yeah. It really brings up a question of how old are these people?
Well, it's hard to say. Clearly they're older playing younger. You know? Yeah. Ugh, it's weird. But at least he's like seems like he's a decent person.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying. So I guess it makes sense that he and Robin Sidney's character are the ones who are going to end up hooking up in the end.
Yeah.
And they do.
Still seriously thought that Amos and Lorna were brother and sister.
I could understand that. Well, certainly they don't seem to give a shit about each other. So you could understand the way people might think that. And let's see. So that's those guys. Then there's Butcher Baker. What did you think about him?
I'm not sure what his name is, so...
Rick.
Oh, it's Rick. Okay. He was actually a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was... Yeah, like, he was working hard and everything, and, you know, until he cut his hand.
I guess he's like the wrestling nerd, right? Yeah. sort of?
Yeah, he wants to be a wrestler.
Okay, well, as you do. I just don't quite get the butcher-baker thing. Why be a butcher or a baker? Why be both?
I have no idea.
It doesn't sound very menacing, but then neither does a homicidal baked good. So.
Yeah. And then he gets possessed by the cookie when he eats it.
Yeah, that was probably one of the bad ideas amongst a whole movie full of bad ideas and bad choices.
And then they stuff him into that oven that's mysteriously glowing plasma, and he dies.
Yeah, well, this is what happens.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they burned him alive, because I'm pretty sure whatever was possessing him left.
And where did it go?
Into the smaller gingerbread at the end.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there were other Ginger Dead movies. In fact, there was an Evil Dead. There was a Ginger Dead versus Evil Bong movie.
There's more than one.
Oh, there's more than one. I think Gary Busey is the only in the first one though. But there you go. What about Millard himself? What about the cookie / Gary Busey? What did you think of him?
Okay, so as the actual murderer in the diner, he was actually kind of menacing.
That's Gary Busey. He plays creepy, weird, crazy person very, very well.
Like that's legitimately kind of frightening in the beginning.
Yeah, there's a whole story that I know that Robin Sidney talks about how she was kind of afraid of him on set, and he was like trying to get her into his trailer, and she had to get her mom there to sort of protect her from him, even though I don't know that he necessarily had any evil ideas, but he is Gary Busey, and he's a little intense, so I can understand you being a little frightened, especially if you're a young actress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why you hire Gary Busey on your pictures to up the creep factor. But what did you think of him as the cookie?
Whatever it is, I think you overcooked it.
On the contrary, I baked up just fine.
What the hell is that?
Well, it sure ain't the Pillsbury fucking doughboy. Yeah!
Again, they could have just dumped an oil drum of milk on him. They had plenty of milk.
He was such an evil, mean little cookie, though. It's very strange. Like, he picks a fight with a rat for some reason. I don't know why.
That's true.
Like, hey, rat, you want a piece of me? The rat's like, I'm just eating some snacks, man. Leave me alone. Although it's weird because, again, sometimes he kills people, the other times he just, you know, covers them with icing. It's just strange where he whacks them on the head instead of killing them.
You know, another question is, you know, if they played it right, they could have kept him around as a mascot for the bakery.
They could have. That would have been interesting. I mean, coming by our cookies, but see our live evil cookie.
Yeah.
Could have made an army of these ginger dead people, and they could have been all over the place. Well, at the end, they do get that box from the quote-unquote mysterious woman that I assume is his mother. Maybe she had more ashes?
Maybe.
But those little ginger dead bread men at the end looked a little suspicious. So, I don't know. There must be more coming. Then we had the Hispanic girl, whose name I forget. She's the one who gets covered in icing.
Did she have a name?
She did. I don't remember what it is. Because cowbrain. And then there is Mom, Drunky Mom, who decides she's going to shoot the banner off of the neighbor's property.
Quite impressively, too, actually. Like,
yeah.
Like, she's a really good sharpshooter. She's shooting, like, dime-sized targets from across the street at night while drunk.
With a shotgun. Not even, like, a single bullet. We're talking about a shotgun with, like, pellets. So, yeah.
So, yeah, why isn't she, like, in championship shows?
Yeah, I want to just show this to some of my sort of gun nut friends just so that they could get comments on the firearm use in this particular film because it's not very realistic at all. Very bad. So I think character-wise, that covers just about everybody. I can't think of anybody else. Oh, well, there was the dad. There was Jimmy Dean himself, the guy who gets himself run over by his own car because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
There's him. What did you think of that guy? He was going to buy her out, remember?
Yeah, he was annoying.
He was annoying.
So, which brings me to another question of, was the murder of the dad and brother not common knowledge? Because if it's not, I understand him a bit better, If it is common knowledge, he's just more of a dick.
Yeah, I think he's just more of a dick. Because even Amos seems to understand or remember.
Yeah, the whole weird prosperity gospel thing he was spouting was not good.
Yeah, very strange. Very strange. But, still, kind of a fun, strange film. Evil Cookie, you gotta like that. Now, when we first saw it, and Jonathan and I ended up doing the review for it, we scored it, and I think we asked you about it, and you said that you thought it was a 6. So my question to you now is that still your score, or are you going to score it better or worse? What do you think?
Like, relative to the worst movies I've seen?
Right, because you've seen a few more movies since then.
I'd probably give it a better score now.
Really?
It's better than House Shark. It's better than Snow Shark.
Better than Snow Shark. Well, Snow Shark you gave an 8.
Oh, that's true. It's a watchable movie. It's fun to make fun of.
It is a fun movie.
I'll give it a 5.
You give it a 5?
Yeah.
Okay, so you change your score to 5. That's pretty good. And it is a full moon picture, and they are known for making fun, weird, goofy movies. And, you know, Charles Band always is coming up with something fun. So there you go. So not a bad film overall?
Yeah. Although now I have another question.
Oh, okay, shoot.
What would have happened if they just put the cookie in a Ziploc bag and left it?
Presumably he would have figured his way to punch his way out of it, I guess.
What if they vacuum seal it?
Well, of course, he is a kind of a big cookie. At least he was initially. So I don't know if they had a bag that size to hold him. But what if they stuck him in the freezer? He could have just been frozen.
Or the milk idea again.
There is the milk idea. What if he goes out in the rain, for God's sakes? Well, I mean, it's Texas, so God knows if it even rains there. I guess it has to sometime, but, I mean, you could run him over with a car, and he's going to turn into crow. What if a dog comes in and eats him? I mean, there's like a billion different ways this cookie is not going to last longer than 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Also, where did the mom get more ashes? Because all of them, it looked like, got sent to the bakery.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, cremation's kind of an odd thing. You actually get a lot of ashes.
Oh, you do? I thought it was just that tiny urn.
No, that's what movies want you to believe. You actually get a lot. And actually, I think that tiny urn is less than the whole thing. Because you're also getting... Because you don't just burn the body. They usually put it in like a coffin, like a very cheap coffin. Or they put it in something. Because they have to make sure that the whole thing incinerates. But yeah, you generally get... and a body, even though it incinerates, it still produces a lot of ash. So, and then shit, even a lot of bones and teeth and stuff don't burn all the way. They have to have it at a certain temperature. And yeah, I don't know. That part didn't trouble me. I think there is a possibility that she could have more ashes.
So it like sent the ashes in multiple boxes?
It's possible.
That's actually a creepy thought.
I know. Or it was in a bigger box and she subdivided it for later use.
That's also kind of creepy.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, that's stuff that we're reading into it. But, you know, we're just trying to make sense of it. But, of course, we're walking past the whole, this is a cookie that came to life thing, you know, and transferred, not only came to life, but transferred his quote-unquote spirit or personality or voice from the ashes, which should be gone. But now into a cookie. And then the cookie got up and... Cookie doesn't even have muscles, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
How is it doing anything?
No muscles, no bones. And by the time it's cooked, it should be fairly rigid.
You notice when it was firing the gun, quote unquote, it's just holding on to it. There's nothing activating the trigger.
Yeah, how is it aiming, too?
Well, he was a pretty bad shot, so he didn't hit anything, even though he was like 10 feet from them.
Yeah.
And he's like firing off multiple rounds at will. Just missing everything. Yeah, no, you have to kind of approach this movie for what it is. It's an evil cookie movie, so you got to know it's on one level fairly cartoonish and not very realistic. But that's okay. You're here to have fun.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, I'd say Ginger Dead Man is pretty darn good as a fun, silly, goofy, you know, horror comedy. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Especially considering some of the other movies we've seen, which... I guess thought they were funny, but really were not at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that about wraps it up. We don't have a whole lot more that we can say about Ginger Dead Man. Is this, I guess, one last question. Do you think this is a movie you would recommend to your friends to watch? Like your sister?
I'd recommend it to my sister mostly to torment her.
You think she has a fear of evil cookies?
No.
No?
Not yet.
Not yet. There you go. Well, there are, I think, 2 sequels. So are you game to watch further Ginger Dead Men movies?
No.
What about Ginger Dead Man versus the Evil Bong, which is a sort of a bad sort of pot smoker movie where you evil bong, like an evil spirit inhabits a bong. So you got the evil sentient bong versus the evil sentient cookie.
And somehow this doesn't end with like munchies.
Well, you see, there you go. That's the whole thing. And now you have the evil bong with the evil pot, and now you're going to have evil munchies for evil cookies. Makes sense. In the Charles Band universe, this is how things are made.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll get you to some more Full Moon videos. They're a lot of fun. He likes a lot of dolls and toys and goofy little weird things like that. So, puppets especially. Love the puppets. And the cookie itself was pretty much a puppet, although I think he was a hand puppet, you know?
Yeah, he looked like it.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, I think that about does it for Ginger Dead Man for this episode of Indie Film Cafe. It's a short one this time, because this is a catch-up podcast. We do have one more catch-up podcast we need to do, and that one is for Killer Tongue. So we may have you watch that one, too, if you think it's even more outrageous than the killer cookie, if you can believe that.
Yeah, he summarized it to me on the way here.
And what did you think?
The summary alone was kind of nuts.
Yeah, well, the movie itself is kind of nuts. It's a lot of fun, but it is over the top, definitely. But it's also a lot of fun. We will come back with a later episode, a later catch-up video with Killer Tongue. And on that note, I think it's time for us to say goodbye. Let's see, Continuity Monkey's not here, but I do have Squeaky Cow. Yeah, he's not quite as squeaky as Continuity Monkey, but he'll do.
Oh, hi, Simon. Hi, Craig.
Hi, do you have any gingerbread cookies?
Not if you're lucky, I don't.
Actually, an older lady stopped by just a few minutes ago and dropped off some of these cute little rascals. Couldn't you just die?